Chad, activate store open protocol.
Well, well, what are you so happy about, Mike?
Don't you know what day it is, Dave?
How should I know? Time's just a construct.
It's May the 13th! Don't you remember? Today's the day you promised we'd finally watch Jason X.
Oh, damn. That's right, I did say that, didn't I? Well, shit. I hate to have to tell you this, Mike, but...
What is it?
Well, after the last Jason episode we did, I kind of harped on Ryan for missing the episode. Now, I know he took PTO for that day in advance and all, but I guess it just really pissed me off that he shit all over my slasher glee.
What does that have to do with us watching Jason X?
Well, after I chided him for that, he went into Chad's systems and sort of mucked with the calendar settings.
And?
He removed all future instances of the 13th falling on a Friday from the calendar.
What? That's crazy. I know what day it is. We have a good old-fashioned calendar with Chippendale's dancers right here. Look.
Mike, the only thing that calendar's good for is a cheap nudie mag substitute. Besides that, it's a calendar for 1990, you goof.
What? Oh yeah. There's Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze. Guess that should have been a giveaway.
Wait, why do we have a calendar up from 1990?
Have you seen Farley's moves in that episode?
What moves? It's a still image, Dave.
Au contraire. It's more than a calendar, Jackie. It's a flipbook, too. Let me show you.
Okay, now I'm beginning to see why you keep a decades-old calendar up on the wall.
Right?
I still don't see why it matters. Why can't we watch Jason X?
Mike, I understand your frustration, but there's certain criteria that must be met before we can screen a Jason flick. First and foremost being that I have to be absolutely sure that it's an honest-to-God case of the 13th falling on a Friday. And without confirmation by Chad, I just don't see us watching the movie today, buddy.
No, I am not letting you take this away from me, Dave. I had to sit through 4 of these goddamn movies to get the one I wanted to see. If you aren't going to play the movie, I'll have to take matters into my own hands.
I don't see why you're so hell-bent on seeing this movie, Mike. You know it's going to be terrible, right?
I don't care! I put in the time, damn it! And I'm going to be rewarded. Now, how does this usually work? Oh, yeah. You mean... you haven't heard the tale of Friday the 13th? I said, Friday the 13th?
This is starting to get embarrassing now, Mike. I don't know what you're trying to do, but clearly it isn't working. Maybe it's time you took some PTO yourself, huh? Get away from the pressure of working in a post-apocalyptic video store.
Wait, I got it! Give me that calendar.
Hey, I was flipping through that.
What are you... Oh, don't roll it up. It's gonna get all crinkled.
I'll teach you to ruin my Friday, Dave.
What are you doing? We just replaced that window.
You mean you don't know?
What's happening? Where's the music coming from?
We'll pull up a cryo tube and prepare to meet a perfect 10 and tear, because I'm about to tell you the tale of Jason X.
In the not too distant future, 4 movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our 4 heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
In the year 2455, on a routine training mission, a team of students is about to discover a life form frozen in time.
Wow.
They're on their way back. Prepare for docking and power up the lab.
You brought them on board?
Everything's under control, man.
He's an unstoppable killing machine.
Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
How do we get off the ship?
I don't know.
Look, we're gonna be all right.
What? Are you high?
Uh-oh.
He's here. You have got to get them out of there.
Hey, Slappy.
I think we're finally okay.
Is that?
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, wow.
He's been modified.
Oh, you think?
You guys might want to run.
I don't think he's out there.
Why don't you just stick your head out and have a peek?
Okay, that was Jason X. Now I gotta ask you, Mike, as we were watching this movie, there was a moment when a character... Oh, well, I'm Dave. I'm joined again, of course, by Mike and Jackie. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, I gotta ask... There is a moment when a character is thrown off of a railing and lands on what appears to be a giant screw sticking out. It's just there. I don't know what the function of it is. The character slowly revolves around.
I think
around
it's for this. This is what it's for.
And yeah. Then moments... Well, yeah, it's for a joke. But moments later, a character walks up and says, he's screwed. Now, in this moment, I couldn't help but look over to you and think to myself... Was it worth it, Mike?
You know, I had high expectations for the premise of this movie, but through the four movies we've seen thus far, my expectations have gotten lowered after everyone just saying, like, no, Michael, it's not actually good.
It just keeps on being
really
exactly
bad.
What it is.
And I think... I had such low expectations that I kind of, it was better than I expected.
It evened out to be an enjoyable experience.
I think so. Yeah, everything kind of evened out to where it was, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a movie.
It sure was
a
movie.
It is a movie.
I did not hate this. But man, it sure is a unique product, huh?
It was so baffling that it kind of kept my attention for the runtime.
Yeah, that's one thing you could say about this movie. Despite, you know, I mean, sure, you can level a lot of negatives against this movie, such as it looks like a direct to Sci-Fi Channel movie. The effects are terrible.
The dialogue's terrible.
Yeah, the music is horrendous.
It's pretty bad.
The costuming is insane.
Costuming is insanely bad.
Although,
but...
well, I wouldn't say bad. It's just insane. We'll talk about that.
But yeah, there's one as many negatives as you can hurl this movie. I don't think you could say that it's boring. There's constantly stuff happening.
Yeah, and it really is just. It's kind of there were multiple moments of this where I was like, "Whoa, that's they're doing that, huh?"
They sure are.
They went there, huh? Okay.
Doing
wow, they cast
this,
David
huh?
Cronenberg in the movie. I did not see that coming.
For him to die in the first, like, 2 minutes.
Wait, is that true? David Cronenberg was in this?
Yeah, he was the old guy who was at the beginning who was like, you say we should keep him frozen, but I think I know better.
What are you doing here?
I'm taking the specimen.
Well, you can't. I haven't prepped the cryostasis chamber.
I don't want him frozen, Rowan. I want him soft.
We've already discussed this.
Yeah, well, I had to go over your head. I'm moving him to our Scranton facility.
Dr. Wimmer, you can't risk transporting him through open country.
This isn't open for discussion. His unique ability to regenerate lost and damaged tissue, I mean, it cries out for more research.
And you're willing to risk the deaths of innocent civilians if he escapes?
Yes. But I'm sure Sergeant Marcus and his men can handle the transfer just fine. Sergeant?
Everything's under control, ma'am.
Dr. Wimmer, please.
Rowan, he's no longer your problem.
We're gonna move him. He's gonna kill people. Oh no, he killed me.
My thinking was, I didn't look too deep into the trivia regarding Cronenberg, but I do know that this is a Canadian-made movie.
That's true.
David Cronenberg is very big in the Canadian film industry, so I can only assume that either it could have been one of two things.
The Prime Minister asked him to do it.
Okay, the Prime Minister asked him to do it.
He said, do it for Canada.
He owed a favor to someone on the production. Or three, if you are Canadian, you have to star in a Canadian movie. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe gets a tax thing if he does Canadian productions.
Exactly. Okay, if you work in this movie, we'll make your silly history of violence movie in a few years. How about that? So I don't know why Cronenberg's in this movie exactly, but he's not bad. I mean, he's a perfectly slimy army military guy.
No, it's a good, 2 minutes. He's just slimy and dismissive of Rowan, the young female scientist. And then he's immediately murdered with a big old hook on a chain in his back or something.
I think that's what it was. He kills a lot of people with chains and
this
and
movie
pipes
is very dark, actually, visually. Not twisted, but visually dark.
It's pretty twisted.
I mean, it is that too. But I'm guessing because, they're trying to make it.
They have $6.
Yeah, they have $6, and they need to make this look good.
And they're Canadian dollars. Yep. $6 Canadian dollars. Oh my God! Eat shit, Canada.
The downside. I know that's where we're going with
this. I'm sorry.
The downside of that is some of the kills are muddled. Not sure, what did he do?
That's, not that I've seen every Friday the 13th movie, but isn't that always kind of a little bit of the thing of it's a dark, shitty camp. It's more cinematic.
The gore is maybe hidden, but you know what happened.
That's true.
He impaled him or he.
Yeah.
He impales people, but
that a lot.
This is some kills where I don't understand what happened, how the kill was executed. Which I don't like.
Well, it's worth noting that this is the first Friday the 13th movie where the kills were done in CGI. Yeah, you're shaking your head. I agree.
There were some good. There were some good kills though, and I think we start off with some bangers. It's not technically a kill, but when he gets cryogenically frozen.
Well, that's a pretty good. That's I think in the kind of tradition of vague protagonists of the Friday the 13th, the best you can get is a standstill, and Rowan got that by fucking freezing his ass and also getting frozen.
I like when all the teams exploring. First off, I love their suits. They all look like Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. and it's funny, you can tell it's an old facility now, we're in the future, because there's so many cobwebs, ridiculous. I wish we were a video show. You could put a freeze frame of just how many cobwebs are on this place. It's nuts. Spiders went to town.
And this is okay. So this group of this student group and their professor.
You gotta have teens
or whatever. They were just on a field trip to Earth One.
Because Earth One, we quickly find out, is an inhospitable wasteland. It kind of looked like does today, actually. it sounds like
but
people
sometimes
are going
you just
on,
go there for
occasional
junk.
Reconnaissance missions to find stuff. stuff underground or whatever. You find.
Yeah, you know who did that?
Yeah, like an old box of DVDs.
That's
a fun light. You know who did that plot really well? Probably, I think more than once was
Fast and Furious.
Cowboy Bebop. Going to the wrecked, shitty little shell of Earth and being like, well, everything does suck here, but maybe we can find some interesting stuff.
Some antiques.
Some antiques, only that's a, you know, good some product.
Only they don't find, well, I guess technically they do find an old antique, but in the form of Jason Voorhees.
They sure do.
And I love, though, the
455-year-old
But
antique.
I love that he's frozen with the machete up and...
The coated
stoner teen knocks him over and just slices his arm off. That's great. He's still,
which is a post-death kill from Jason.
He's
if this were a
killing.
Call of Duty game
he
or
just
something,
can't
he's still
stop.
Killing even though he's dead.
It's great. I love that. That's fun. Tell me that.
He would have gotten like an
achievement.
No, that's great.
If this was like Xbox, he would have gotten an achievement at that moment.
Achievement unlocked.
Well, why don't you get into the plot of Jason X, Mike? Oh, wait, I'll do it for you. It's aliens.
It's aliens, it's Futurama, it's
Futurama.
It's a couple things. It's like the most bargain bin, like dime store Joss Whedon ripoff dialogue you can imagine. Everyone's got to get their quip
strong,
in.
Like this is a side to Buffy or something like that.
Well, and that's back to, I mean, sorry, we'll get into the plot in a sec, but that's another kind
I mean,
of...
we did. We got into the plot.
Yeah, that's the plot.
That's it.
Have
you seen aliens?
Jason,
you've
they
seen
take
this.
Jason up to the ship, and now Jason is on a spaceship.
He's been frozen
he's
for
everyone on the spaceship.
Over 400 years, so has our plucky heroine, Rowan, no last name, scientist.
I do like, it's an hour and a half, and you know it, and like, in 15 minutes, Jason is on the spaceship. They've introduced some like... Chekhov's nanobots.
Yeah. And Chekhov's healing nanobots.
Healing nanobots. And
we've got
then
our...
we're just off to the races where it's just, all right, he's just going
to
kill one.
We're off to the races full of horny teens/20-somethings.
Special ops scientist teens are so into making out. There's the one scientist who's like, the best kill, I think, in the franchise that we've seen so far. I'm going to say
there,
that.
I agree.
So we have this... teen who's operating on Jason, like when he's still in
cryostasis. She's wearing a crop top.
Yeah, she's wearing like the
like
most
leather
crop
pants.
Top, and like her bare stomach is like next to this like rotting putrid
he's
mass,
dripping like green goo.
And she's very fascinated by him. Like there's a moment when she's like, she has this weird smile on her face
when
as
she
plucks
takes
out
his
eyeball.
It's very weird, but I was gonna say about the outfits. One, they're all absurd. Obviously, this is made in the year 2001. And a lot of the outfits are very like Buffy adjacent.
This is like the 2001 Abercrombie and Fitch like.
Well, but
catalog.
Even I mean, some of them get weirder. But that one, that last outfit that Rowan ends up in, where it's like the pants and the little red top.
Don't ruin my pants.
Don't ruin my pants. Is very like Buffy's gonna go grab a stick. You know, she's wearing that. She's running to go kill some vamps.
One thing I thought was interesting about the clothing in the movie was that a lot of it, like the tops and whatnot, it was like sweater type of material.
Yeah, a lot of kind of like fuzzy textiles.
One of the kids' outfits is a wool tank top and black leather pants.
Yeah, that's what they wear in the future. I'm gonna wear my completely sternum bared shirt with no bra.
It's like hard pieces of metal, like latching it together.
That I'm wearing.
It's like,
to work.
It's like when you wanna simultaneously feel comfy and sexy.
But it'll be like, yeah, that for the women, and then
for the women only.
Their professor,
that's
a lot of crop tops, and the professor guy's wearing like a full turtleneck and blazer.
We even have the cowboy hat from Aliens. I mean,
yeah,
it's like
there's a character named Dallas.
That's right, there is.
But so the kill though, you know, is
the kill
is, and it's early on. So he's on the ship. They're reanimating his corpse because I mean they don't know. No,
they don't mean to. This is we see him become like come back to life while Rowan is giving the info dump
to
about.
Reanimate him.
his special abilities that they discovered in the past. Up,
dunks her head into a cryo like tank. Her head freezes, and he smashes her head open. Like, just cracks it all open.
So it's like red slushy on a blonde wig is all that's left
of it. And you see it. Like, her head just like...
It's fucked up.
It could be grosser, but it's pretty gross. It's like definitely the goriest kill I feel like we've seen in the franchise, and it might be my favorite.
It was really good.
It was pretty good. What I like about it, too, is, like, when he pulls it back, you can tell at that point that it's, like, a dummy that he's holding.
So far in this movie, I'm, like, I'm all in. I'm, like, what was Dave, like, what was everyone talking about? This is Jason in space. This
what
is delivering
more could you want?
Everything. And then we start to, like, okay, he's going to quarantine off in the cargo hold, and let's have our elite military team go fight him in the cargo.
Oh, he killed all of them immediately.
And you see them get killed one by one, and the kills are pretty boring. Like,
yeah.
This is where it starts to be, like, it's really dark, and I don't know what's going on.
And it's such a big cast that you're like, well, I don't care about. I didn't meet any of these people.
And the kills are, like, not what you can see are, like, dumb. Like, I don't want to see Jason just, like, snap a guy's neck or like punch him hard and he
I want to see him dies. Stalk the teens and their horniness and like
we get the screw though that the screws in that scene that is really good
that's when that the stands
shot
out.
Like because you see him he just like impales him on a spike it looks like but then you see his body just like like a helicopter blade like full on like
that's a good moment yeah
it would not spin like that. But it is.
But it'd be funny if it did.
But it's great. It'd be funnier if it did. That's the thing with this movie. Like I mentioned all the negatives against the movie. The music, the bad special effects. I think the acting,
the music, the writing, the acting, the special effects.
Pretty much everything about the movie. But it's kind of one of those movies. I had an epiphany occurred to me as we were watching this, where I was just like, oh, wait a minute. This is a movie that you could say this of any movie, but I think this is one of those movies that maybe you need to watch stoned to really enjoy it. Because otherwise, I think one of the big problems I have with this movie, and this is a problem I have with a lot of movies when movies do this, is when they wink too hard at the audience, you know?
It was a really heavy wink.
Oh, there were so many moments. Like, he just wanted his machete back, and, oh, damn it. Oh, the biggest one in the movie, and again, I think this would play better to someone stoned, is when he's on the table, the teenager is operating on him, like plucking his eyeball out and staring at it, smiling weirdly. Everyone else in the ship at this moment is apparently having sex.
Yeah, everyone.
And just as a woman reaches climax and her moan goes throughout the ship, that's when Jason like sits up.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
I thought that was amazing. That like,
he's
I
like,
thought that
teens
was.
Are fucking.
I was not stoned, and I love. I'm glad you brought that up. I love the idea that like he's been asleep for 450 years, and he just hears
but
off
he's
in the
such
distance
an
the
incel
sounds
that
of
like
teens having sex, and he is like jolts up like, all right, time to kill.
I have got to fucking murder them.
I think that's chef's kiss.
Maybe it just depends on your mood at the time. I don't know. Like, there have been times when I've really enjoyed this movie. Other times where it's like, I think honestly, one of my main complaints about the movie is the music because it permeates almost every scene.
It sounds like a drunk Danny Elfman with like a random
a
guitarist
Casio
who's
keyboard.
Just like shredding and like someone on the drum machine.
Like,
I'm only hearing
anything?
The Casio keyboard. That's all I'm hearing. It's just, the ironic thing is, the guy who did the music for this is Harry Manfredini, the guy that did the music for the original Friday the 13th.
You're gonna have to splice in the some of the music from the overly long, like we're trying to get to 90 minutes opening credit sequence. It was like, for a few seconds, I was like, this sounds like Danny Elfman. And then it's like, oh, yeah, this sounds like a drunk off his ass Danny Elfman on, yeah, probably on like a Casio keyboard with like...
Look, there's only so many quirky themes you can write. Quirky, kind of scary.
Now I'm just imagining that opening hell sequence with the Beetlejuice music.
That'd be fun, at least. That opening sequence kept going.
It should have had, the music for this should have been like a Nine Inch Nails, like Trent Reznor vibe.
Oh, that would kind of rule.
Or just like constant, just like bow to bow to bow to bow
to bow to bow to bow to bow. That reminds me, did you guys...
Have you ever seen The Beach?
Well, no, the music that plays when the credits roll is, I don't know how to describe it other than, yeah, this movie came out in like 2001, yeah. 2002.
It's a time capsule.
It is like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a cheap, well, it's like if you had a Casio keyboard and like these really cheap, you know, instruments, and you're like, what, we need to try to make a cool, like, rockin' end credit song.
It reminds me of,
but with no vocals.
The soundtrack of Ghosts of Mars a bit.
Yeah, just like, what's the, like, it's someone who thinks this is so cool, but doing it with the most limited means possible.
It makes me miss certain other beautiful pieces of music from the Friday the 13th series, such as He Lives, He's Back, what was it,
Jason? Oh, yeah.
He's Back, and he's coming for you.
That was good. They should have brought
Jason Lives, He's Back, yeah.
You laughed then, but now you're missing it.
But
now.
I would love some of that face. Right now. And he's coming for you.
Cryogenically frozen.
What? Okay, so assuming this movie... Well, that's the ironic thing. I was about to say assuming this movie had a budget, but technically this movie did have, at least as far as a Friday the 13th movie is concerned, a big budget.
Yeah, that's true. But in perspective, this probably was like the...
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But... It makes me wonder. Here's a question. Speaking of the music, and if they had a bigger budget, what and now knowing that this takes place, that this movie was made in 2000, what rock artist would you have gotten at the time to do an end credits theme song?
Britney Spears. You said that.
Well, I do stand by that. Like, an actual good answer would be Nine Inch Nails. I
feel Nine Inch
like
Nails,
that would probably work. Yeah. But I think a more realistic option that would be, it's not going to be great. Or good even would be. I think my inspired choice is the band Godsmack would have.
Yeah,
because didn't they do one for the Mummy?
Signifies that time.
I think they did. The ones like I stand alone. It's a very yeah.
That would be really good.
They really encapsulate the like sci-fi original movie circa 2001 vibe.
This like. I mean, speaking of the low production values, like, and you mentioned cinematic earlier, Jackie. Like, I never really got that cinematic sense from this movie. Just the way it's shot.
It feels very TV movie.
Yeah, it felt like I was watching an episode of Babylon 5 or something like that. Like, it just didn't really look cinematic. And I don't know if it's just the fact that it was... I can't remember if this was shot on film or not, but...
It probably was in 2001.
It just has like a cheap quality to it that, again, in addition to the music, it's just like those are things that it's hard for me to ignore. I do enjoy this movie. I just want to say that up top. Like, I do enjoy it. I think it's even made more enjoyable if you're stoned, probably. But again, there are certain things where it's just like, ugh, God, it looks and sounds terrible. It's just, it makes me shudder sometimes when I watch it. Like, ugh.
So in like the plot of the movie, so they like cordon off pretty quickly the storage facility, and they send in all the military people, and they just all die mostly boring deaths, except for the screw guy.
Poorly lit deaths.
And then I feel like that's when we start to, it's like, okay, now it's time for the teens, like the civilians on the ship. And that's also when they start to fly to the space colony. And I want to talk about this, like, the situation in the space colony, Solaris.
Solaris,
because, like, this is one of the moments with the cryogenic head. I was like, wow.
Yeah, they're approaching the space station. And...
Well, he kills the pilot.
Yeah.
He kills the pilot.
Everyone's like, it'll be fine. They'll let us in, and then we'll be safe.
They got 60 guys there. They're 60 ready. Hard-nosed grunts.
You see, like, Solaris. Yeah, they got, like, 60 military people who are a team waiting to, like...
Jason has already murdered all of their military people, but...
And you see Solaris, and it looks like a New York City floating in space. Like, there's big skyscrapers. There's this giant dome that looks like a... climate enclosed, like it reminds me of like the end of Interstellar or something. Like you get the sense thousands and thousands of people live here. And Jason just like once he I guess he knows how to fly, and he flies it just into
just straight through the whole space. Well, station.
Hold on. I think he kills the pilot, and the pilot, because the pilot's dead, he doesn't like decelerate. And they're still heading towards the thing, and the guy on the other end's like, "You're coming in too fast. Disengage." You really think Jason's getting on the joystick? And
because
just, like,
he's not like what? He's not even aimed. He's like the direction he's aimed is like not even close to any sort of port. Like he's going straight for the dome.
And so Dallas was just a bad pilot.
Maybe. Well, the point is, I mean, indirectly or not, the whole like the whole thing blows up. So, like, now all of a sudden, Jason, where they say his body count was, like, 200 or something officially when they revive him. Like, oh, Jason Voorhees, he killed 200 people.
It's off the charts.
It's off the charts now. And, like, that'll, like, he has killed now, like, way more people in this movie by, like, orders of magnitude than ever before. And I love that now, like, Jason is responsible for, like, this is more than, like, he murdered
Jason
people.
Jason now did like, genocide.
Yeah, he's, like, war criminal Jason Voorhees. And I just love that they went there. Like, the whole thing blows up.
He just did it.
I was surprised.
It's a bummer, though, that he doesn't have a moment to take credit. There's no moment where he, like, looks outside or looks through a porthole.
You're right.
And you just see his eyes, like, narrow, you know?
Glint in his eyes, yeah.
Like, you know, typically in that moment, like, Jason, his eyes would narrow and you'd see, like, his chest... just pumping up and down as he menacingly just goes, meh. Yeah. But we don't get that moment, which is why I don't think he was piloting the ship.
I choose to believe he was.
I want to believe.
Look, he's a very talented, immortal cyborg man.
Actually, you know what? Come to think of it.
Who is also an incel.
Well, no, come to think of it, we've seen Jason in the past, like, have the forethought to, like, disengage or like sever phone lines, so maybe it is possible that he's just like, I'm gonna pilot this thing right into
he enjoys the you know, the game of it all. he's sick is what he
is. There's so many teens on that space
station. There's a bunch of people fucking each other.
It's funny you mentioned games too, because we get a holodeck in this movie.
We do.
Thanks. We are fans of a holodeck, a good holodeck scene.
Yeah.
And I got to say that I think the effects in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Next Generation far surpassed the effects we see here.
It was interesting, especially those weird, like, dinosaur alien.
I mean, there's a way to salvage that, though, because it is supposed to be a video game. So, I suppose. Can look kind of fake.
Like, they just look kind of goofy.
It's bad art design.
Yeah.
And it is
that's
like
the problem.
It is weird at first because, like, it takes you a minute to realize that's, like, what's going on. And this movie's so absurd. I was like, are they.
Yeah, when did I miss something? No, they're just playing a game, and they're so annoyed when they're like, who's this fucking clown that walked into our program?
Yeah, I guess they, like, and then that guy gets sliced in half. Because they were playing the video game.
Yeah, they didn't get the shipwide emergency alert about the dangerous creature.
Did you hear any of the guns or screams?
We were playing our video game.
Yeah, this is, again, I accept that this is a low budget movie, and this is also early 2000s era CG,
but
this is one of those things when I see CGI creature design or monsters or effects from this era, it takes me out of the movie every time, because it's like I'm watching footage from a PS2 video game. It just looks so bad. And not to harp on this, but it's just like when that dinosaur thing showed up, I know that it's in the context of a holodeck video game, basically, but it's just like shoving. It's like someone like
you're like, there'd be a bad video game. Your video game should be better in 2455.
Yeah, I agree. This is the reason I don't play. I can't play Nintendo 64.
Maybe they lost a lot of video game tech in the Microsoft conflict.
That's right. Uh-huh. We cannot
maybe
forget.
Maybe onto something there, Mike.
In our history,
which is a line in the movie. If you haven't seen it, there's a throwaway line about, like when they see they come across like a mutilated
corpse. Drop the line,
corpse.
Chad. Yeah.
Give me your vest. Oh, bastard. Hey. Lucky you weren't alive during the Microsoft conflict. Hell, we were beating each other with our own severed limbs.
That's nice.
It's worth noting, he says that line while looking at his friend, the pilot Dallas, literally strewn about in pieces all
yeah,
over
his viscera
the
and like...
Yeah. There's an arm over there. There's part of his chest over there.
I think we've passed over it. But shortly after... I think shortly after the Solaris explosion... They basically, like, the teens and the professor cordon themselves off in, like, another area and just wait for Jason. And that's when the professor has the interaction with Jason. And this is the worst part of the movie, I think. The worst, by far, the worst thing in this movie is they really build you up to hate this professor. He's a classic, you know, just, like, jerk, you know. And...
selfish and greedy.
You see they're like setting up this big kill where Jason's like walking yeah. toward him. He gets the machete. He gets two machetes. So Jason is standing over him with two machetes. And then it cuts away. And you hear him
you
scream.
You just hear him scream
off
in the background.
Screen.
Yeah.
That is... How do you do that? How do you like have the character you hate this much not get... Like, he should have been in the frozen and got the head... Like, something...
This could have gone like one of two ways. So they're clearly making an Alien / Aliens ripoff movie with Jason in it. So they could have gone one of two ways. They could have done the Jason route and the most despicable character gets the most brutal kill. Or they could have gone the Aliens route and taken an unlikable character who later ends up sacrificing himself by blowing everything up.
Yeah.
Which does happen in the movie, only not by a despicable character.
No, by like the character you like the most besides like the main character.
Yeah, arguably the most sympathetic character, Brodsky. I want to shout him out.
No, it wasn't Brodsky. Well, Brodsky does do a sacrifice. I was.
Oh yeah, what's his face? Furry tank top man.
Yeah, furry tank top man.
He does
get
that. Yeah,
right out of Aliens, where he has like this grenade, yeah. and he's just like, "Hey, you son of a bitch," or something or other, and he blows it up.
Blow the charges.
No, Waylander's got the trigger.
Hey. Asshole!
I know it's
multiple people blowing up things.
I did want to shout out Brodsky though for being played by one of those, you know, one of those guys where you're like, yeah, it's that guy. What is the actor's
Mr.
name?
Mr. Abs.
Mr. Abs.
And those abs. Peter Mensa. Just one of those character actors who you see and you're like, yeah, that guy.
He was good, and the main character was good.
And the main character, I did like her, and she looked, I kept on thinking that she looked a lot like Olivia Rodrigo, and especially in the kind of like, you know, Y2K tweeny outfit. So this whole time in my mind I'm like, she's a teen too, she's you know, some kid playing a scientist. I hope she makes it through, and she does, so good for her. I'm glad Olivia Rodrigo got that part.
Yes, and I like Brodsky too, because like it's weird, everyone to me, I think he's the best actor in the movie. I think he's doing the best performance. It's weird because it's a little hard to gauge the acting in this movie to some degree, because the movie is so over the top.
The script
zany
is so bad.
It's not really to be taken seriously. So there has to be some kind of concession that you give to the acting, I feel. But having said that, Brodsky is the one where I'm like, that guy could be in a real movie if he wanted to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's the one who came out of like, yeah, a legit action movie.
Like, he knows, he's like, oh, I'm making Aliens, and I'm the big, tough, like, colonel guy or whatever. Like, his
with the heart of gold.
Yeah, I feel like his performance is actually better than this movie. I feel like I like Bronski. I think he's funny. Like, I love that moment where he's just like, all right, well, what's this? The professor told us to take him alive. So nobody, or what is he?
He was
kicker. Dallas not here yet. Nope. You, Briggs, find him, bring him up to speed. Hondo, you got the BFG? You're with me. Sven, Gecko, you got the starboard pontoon.
Serge, what are we doing to find this guy?
Well, I promised the doc we'd take him alive. So, after you blow him all to hell, put one in his leg so we can say we tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hoorah!
Well, it's so, you know, it's really a testament to me, his performance, because I like him so much that he's able to make me laugh at the line where he gets stabbed once. He's like, you think a little jab in the ribs gonna take this old dog down?
Get
he gets stabbed
twice.
One more time.
Oh,
that'll do it.
No, again, that's the thing. He's good. He's charming, and it works. That's,
yeah.
And even with the scene you were talking about, Michael, of the like, hey, let's actually kill him. Yeah, there's like the interactions between him and the you know, creepy professor are very like, he's playing it all in the eyes where he's like, you're like this weak little man and I don't respect you, but like, I will keep you safe. And I will keep those students safe, even though you clearly don't give a shit. And again, this is a like, you know, not very fleshed out character. All of the writing is not very good, but good old Peter Mensa.
He's well
fucking brilliant.
It's worth noting, he definitely is one of the, hey, it's that guy, guys. Because you may notice him, he played the messenger character in 300, who famously gets kicked into the pit.
He is that guy.
This
he's
is
kicked into the pit.
He's the kicked into the pit guy. He's also in Avatar. The story is that James Cameron saw him in a parking lot and cast him on the spot of like, your face. Yes, I need you in my alien movie.
Did they ever make a sequel to Avatar?
Yeah, they made like 600. Those are the only movies that remain. What are you talking about?
You must be from.
I never saw
time.
It. It has something to do with water. I don't quite remember. I never saw it.
Well, it's no Jason X, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that guy. Oh my God, guys, we have a Star Trek connection.
Very good.
He played Daniel Greaves in Star Trek Enterprise.
Okay. He looks like someone who'd be in like a, you know,
in Enterprise.
Well, okay, but he'd be wearing like you know, some Starfleet admiral gear or something, and he'd show up at, I have no idea what character he played on this episode, but this is what he strikes me as. It's my fan fiction. He shows up and he's like the he's like a one episode conflict, but then they have to come together for some reason, and then he turns to whoever the captain is and is like, you run a good ship or something, I don't know.
Well, he kept working after this. He had a recurring role in that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. And, oh my God, in 2021, you guys, I don't think anybody saw this, but apparently he played Blind Master in that Snake Eyes G.I. Joe movie.
There was a 2021 G.I. Joe
What the
movie?
Fuck?
It's called Snake Eyes, yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
Alternate title, Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins.
G.I. Joe Origins.
Thank goodness. We know the origins.
I don't think anybody saw that movie.
Well, yeah, you can tell this movie's good because we're talking about Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins.
That'd be pretty cool, right?
I mean, there's not really much more to this movie, to be honest. Like, after they kill Jason flies purposefully into the space station.
Allegedly.
Purposefully.
Jason's lawyer will be reaching out to you.
It's kind of just them waiting to be rescued from another ship, and Jason killing some more people, and we just saw this, and I'm, like, already forgetting some of these kills.
Well, it's like any Friday the 13th movie. It's really just its kills. That's really just the movie. And the thing that makes this one unique is that Annie's in space.
Well, there is a big thing that... Okay, so I think the big next beat is the android. This is just like Aliens. They've retrofitted the alien into a like murder machine.
She looks like she's straight out of the Resident Evil movies. Did you guys have that?
Yeah, it's but even more fetishy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Her outfit is gross. I mean, just the idea that, like, you know, this guy built the outfit is
yeah,
weird.
The guy who's building the robot that he fucks also had this outfit for her.
Her straps that keep it together are
the
made
gun
of, like,
belt,
bullets.
Yeah.
The gun designs in this whole movie, too, are very, like, super
oh, it's
soaker.
Very.
Like, yes! I had that exact same fact.
They're, like, like ridiculously big. They're, like, they could not be practical at all. I kind of love that, though, to be honest.
There's a moment when one of the characters refers to one of the guns as BFG,
yeah,
which is a BFG. Doom reference.
It is. Yeah, I was like, I perked up when I heard that. The BFG.
This is just fan fiction. This whole movie feels like fan fiction gone awry.
Or gone right.
Or right.
Well, very, right.
So the scene with her, like, just like, all right, I'm gonna get you, Jason, is so ridiculous. I did like it. She's doing, like, the most ridiculous.
She's doing,
like,
cartwheels and
kickflips. Horrific looking.
Like, dual wielding guns.
Yeah. Dual wielding guns. Cartwheels, like, clearly on wires. Like, it's so outlandish.
That I'm not mad at.
And then, like, the finale is basically just, like, blowing, like, a grenade launcher or something, just, like, blowing his limbs off and then blowing his head apart. Blowing
yeah.
up
yeah.
Jason's head.
She like she RoboCops him, but only halfway because she doesn't quite crucify him with like
with
bazookas.
Bullets. But he lands on the nanobot machine, and the nanobots
they
restore
him
to Jason, Uber Jason.
It's Uber
I believe
Jason,
it was referred
yeah.
to in the credits. Which
that's
is
his
the
official name.
Worst like wrestler ass looking like. Bane from the
I mean,
90s Batman movies.
What
look.
Was with
they're not following
the
rules.
The
it's supposed to be called Mecha Jason, right?
Oh, Mecha Jason would be cooler.
Yeah.
Uber Mecha, Jason's pretty good, though.
Well, it's like, I just don't like the design for Uber Jason. The mask is too goofy.
And it's like cringe because you feel like you're getting the vibe they're trying to be like, look
this
at
is
how
cool.
badass
yeah.
this is. Like,
you can tell they want it to be cool.
And it
yeah.
looks so
it
dumb.
So isn't.
Like, the original Jason was way creepier, way more iconic, way cooler. This totally looks like I could see this coming out of the ring in, like, SmackDown 2001.
Well, even the outfit they have him in just for the rest of the movie that he's, like, frozen in, it's, like, it's not quite his outfit. There's, like, extra pieces of, like, rotted leather or something. It all looks very... I mean, it's the 10th movie. Of course they're not going to get a real, like...
They didn't get the real Jason.
They didn't get the
one.
Real Jason.
He was out by this point.
No, it's obviously going to be like the most kind of like polished, but also like thrift store version of itself, without any kind of real, you know, grit or like dirt on it that those first, you know, couple decades of movies maybe had.
Yeah, it's a little unimagined. I mean, not that Jason's costume technically is like. You know, a marvel of costume design. But in this one, it literally just looks like they threw some rags on
yeah.
him. And it's like, all right, go on.
Like some extra chains, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's one of the more least interesting character or costume designs for Jason, I feel. Like, it's no, like, we haven't seen it yet on the show, but it's not one of the better movies, in my opinion, but it does have one of the better costumes. Friday the 13th, Part 7 features Jason coming out of the water. He's been underwater. As we recall in Part 6, uh-huh. he gets, you know, chained under the lake. And when he comes out, he's all, like, gross and wet. And you can see, like, his spinal column exposed
ooh,
on the back. And
cool.
part
nasty.
Of the mask is... Part of the mask is, like, broken off. And you can see, like, his jaw, like, through. So there's a lot of great character design there. A lot of work went into that. Whereas this one, like I said, it's like, what do we got? We got some rags. Just throw some rags on it.
We'll allude to his weird, gooey face under here.
Yeah, it's a little yeah,
rags make him gooey.
I don't know. He was really gooey when he was like de-thawing.
And then when we make him Uber Jason, we'll make him look like RoboCop.
RoboCop's cringe little brother.
Yeah, and so I mean he's stronger now because he's like all mechanical parts, so the guns
can't be shot,
don't have any effect. So now it's just like about getting out and blowing him up. Which they do, and that's kind of it. But a rescue ship comes and saves them, and they blow up the ship. But there is a pretty cool last bit in this where They're flying, like, they blow up the ship, they're on the rescue ship, and Jason is, like, flying through the vacuum of space.
They're
at
like,
them.
He's coming this way.
Like, oh, no. And that is kind of good.
And then Brodsky, like, body slams him.
I don't know
him.
How he got there.
I don't know.
Like,
the trajectory worked.
And, like, a completely different angle. Like, yeah. At an impossible angle, he, like, cuts him off. Yeah, he comes in from the side.
In space, body checks him. And then they both start just like...
They plummet to Earth.
Plummeting to Earth 2.
Earth 2, I'm sorry. And wouldn't you know it, there are some horny teens by a lake.
They, yeah, they land like
next
cut,
to
cut
a
the
lake.
Teens in a lake. Oh, what's that, babe? It's a shooting star. I think it landed in the lake.
Let's go check it out.
Which it got me wondering. I looked a little into the trivia, and one of the original ideas was they wanted this to take place like in a futuristic city. And now I'm
that'd be too expensive.
Wondering, it was deemed too expensive. So let's just make a cheap aliens ripoff on a ship. We got one of Roger Corman's sets over in the back. Let's use that.
You can basically do this movie in like three rooms and just some real creative lighting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, some of the panels in this movie look so cheap.
There's moments like, where some of the doors are closing, like the big space automatic doors, you know? And they have the sound effect of like, ka-chunk, like it's these real heavy things.
But there's
a couple times you can see like some wobble.
Yeah.
There's definitely some like Star Trek TOS feeling vibes throughout the sets in this movie.
Which is pretty rough for like a movie in 2001.
Yeah. A movie, yeah, like 40 to 50 years older than a Star Trek product.
Well, it was interesting. Like, so we've kind of alluded to the fact that this movie was kind of a flop, but evidently, I guess it made its money. It made like three times its production budget in DVD sales. So don't underestimate DVD sales.
Yeah, a lot of stoners out there.
Well, I guess that makes sense because this movie would have come out in the time when DVD was really prevalent, and that was a big factor in a movie's success was the DVD sales.
Mm. And this was, DVDs were pretty new at this time too, right? So there's probably a
bump of
just like,
we're talking scene selection, we're talking special features.
Oh man, can you
this
imagine
the
menus of this DVD? I bet there were something.
I'm sure they probably had like the flames from hell in the beginning and it kind of went into space and all this other stuff. Like, that's one thing I remember fondly about DVDs of yesteryear is that oftentimes at
they
least
really
for the special
told the story.
Ones,
if they did it right, it would be the guy who's on the screwed impaled and like as you're moving down the menu, his body's like turning to point to like the thing you're selecting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You can make a move up and down. Like,
oh, that's great. I was thinking more like I was thinking of like you could be more minimalistic with it. Like, you guys remember the DVD menus for the Lost seasons?
Yeah, yeah. Where it's just like the beach or whatever.
Yeah, you could maybe just have like the holodeck, and it's like old Camp Crystal Lake 80s version.
We cannot legally call this a holodeck, but you get it.
we can't say holodeck exactly, but you know what we're getting at. Speaking of which, we didn't mention that scene, the throwback to 80s Friday the 13th.
Oh, we have to distract Jason. What's going to make this incel just itch to murder?
We want to have drugs and premarital sex.
You want
sex.
Some pot? I did laugh, though, when they cut away from that, and then they cut back, like, a minute or two later.
Oh, the kill
and
was
they,
ridiculous.
The two, like, hot girls had, like, crawled into sleeping bags, and we cut back to Jason, and he's beating one of the sleeping bags with the other sleeping bag.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a good callback to,
good,
again, the seventh
kill.
Movie.
Yeah.
That kill originated in the seventh movie.
Oh, really?
Movie.
That's a real kill.
Well, in the original, he just slams him like against the tree. It's not like
a
I'm going to use your sleeping bag as a weapon against the other one.
That's a fun Friday moment. No, and I appreciate that they made the girls look like they were straight out of the 80s. Like,
yeah, that
hair.
Hairdo.
And like the type of underwear they're wearing and the type of shirt and the cut of it. Like, it was very much like 80s style.
That's cool.
Like, that was, they went the extra mile.
Hey,
on that
you want
part.
A beer? You want some pot?
Well, I like this movie. I'll say it.
I did have fun with it. It was bad, but that didn't stop me.
It wasn't great. It wasn't my favorite, but I might, at the end of the day, I might have liked this more than, say, off the top of my head, the first one. I didn't really like the first one that much.
Well, hot take.
Yeah.
But certainly you don't like it more than Corey Feldman one or Jason Lives.
No, those are the peak still.
When sure. Jason okay. Lives?
This would probably be before those. Like, it'd be that Jason X and then, I don't even remember the titles, but yeah, the Corey Feldman one and
colon, the Corey Feldman
What's
one.
What's the one where they the go Corey paintballing? Feldman. Is that the
that's,
same?
That's six.
That's Jason Lives. Lives.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Ah, and okay. he's coming yeah. for you.
Yeah, yeah. You get
I mean,
the
that
song.
One had the sickest soundtrack.
Yeah, that one, everything's firing. All the cylinders are, that's the saying, right? Firing on all cylinders.
You got it.
It's stabbing on all levels.
Stabbing
it's,
on
well,
all
I,
levels.
I am glad that this movie lived up to your low expectations, Mike. You were so hell-bent on watching this. You threw away our Chippendales calendar, which is kind of a bummer, but I'm glad it was worth it. I'm glad you liked the movie.
Yeah. Is this a no from you recommendation-wise, Dave?
I mean, for Jason fans, I guess I would recommend it. Like I said, like despite its problems, it's a fun movie. It's really stupid. I really think if you're stoned, you could probably get a lot more out of this movie. You can probably get more into it.
Dave's recommend is for drugs.
Well, I think, well, honestly, and also it's not like it's a movie that hides what it is. Like yep. once, like 10 minutes in, if you don't know what this movie's doing, then if you're not on board with it at that point, you're not going to like it. But
yeah.
if you can adjust and get on board with it, you'll have a good enough time. It's fun. You'll never be bored.
I agree. I would recommend it as, you know, as I said, a time capsule if you want to watch something that's extremely 2001. Or if you like things that aren't that good, but maybe, again, you do like to smoke weed. Not saying yes. that's a bad combination at all.
No, you're getting it.
But yeah, what a silly movie. So I guess that's a sort of recommend from me.
A sort of. But so like, two recommends and one sort
yeah,
of recommend.
Yeah. You kind
of
mine's my recommend is more like a wiggling your hand kind of in the middle.
Yeah. Well, with any luck, Mike, we can fix the calendar settings and Chad's calendar set up and relive this magic again and again and again until we're all done with the series.
Can't wait.
But that's going to do it for our latest obligatory Friday the 13th episode. We'll be back next time with another one. I don't know which one we'll
Maybe
do.
He's going to take Manhattan or something?
Who knows? He may take Manhattan. He may fight Carrie. I don't know. Anything could happen.
From the words "take Manhattan," I know that is a Jason movie, but like
it's a crossover with the Muppets. Yeah,
I was going to say, does he fight the Muppets in that?
The great Jason Caper.
Where my brain goes. Anyway, yeah.
What should we do for a sign off here?
See you later, space cowboy.
Ooh, nice. See you, space slasher.
This was an alien sim.
Yeah, it is. Pause play. I said pause play.
He's not pausing.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we need to reboot. Ah! That does not count as a kill.
Yes, it does. Okay, screw this. Game over.